Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You're listening to the Extra Point Show from the Just Call Jed Studios. Injured? Call Jed.com. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Good morning, one and all. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Brayton Wilson here in the captain's chair with you, not just today, but also tomorrow from 10 to noon here on WGR. Joining me as well from his home studios is WGR Sabres beat reporter Paul Hamilton. And, Paul, certainly the next 2 days are going to be plenty filled with hockey talk as the offseason officially begins. But, you know, we can intermingle some nice conversations here and there. Whatever happens to pop up in the sports world, you're more than welcome to join us and share in on the show. How are you this morning, Paul?
I'm well. Well, it's been about a year since we've done this. And it seems like we do this twice a year, and it falls about this time.
Well, we make it count. We have to make our opportunities count when we can. But, so we've hit this sort of point in the season where we're just waiting for the hockey news to happen because the Stanley Cup Finals finally ended, and we obviously saw the Florida Panthers winning their second straight Stanley Cup champion, beating the Edmonton Oilers. And then football-wise, it's the dead point between the end of OTAs and mandatory minicamp and the start of training camp. So there's a lot that we could discuss and talk about. It's just, you know, in terms of news, it's kind of quiet.
Well, this is the only dead point, really, of the NFL season. This is the only time that coaches get away. You know, they once minicamp is over, that's their vacation time. You know, they've put the time in. They're ready for training camp. Every drill for training camp has already been scripted. ready to go, and they this is the only time they get to not put in 17, 18-hour days or whatever they do over there,
right?
And actually get with their families and travel a little bit and have a vacation. So they'll be gone until, well, they announced training camp yesterday, so it's just a little bit over a month away.
Yeah, a little bit of excitement for football-wise to finally get the plans together to go to St. John Fisher and take in some training camp. Anyway, 803-0551-888-550-2550 are the numbers here. You're more than welcome to join Paul and myself over the course of the next 2 days. We'll be here with you 10 to noon today, 10 to noon tomorrow. The lineup that we have over the next 2 days, I think at least is pretty exciting, Paul. We've got a couple of guests to talk some NHL draft talk as we're officially about a week away from the draft getting underway in Los Angeles. The new decentralized draft, which will be interesting. We'll have Mike Morial coming up this morning at 11 o'clock. He's from NHL.com. We've talked to him plenty of times. It's always great to chat with him. He's very well-versed with prospects coming up in this year's draft. At 11:45 today, we'll check in with Amy Lezikowski of the 11-Day Power Play. The 11-Day Power Play getting started yesterday down at Harbor Center in downtown Buffalo, and we'll be playing, at least myself, I'll be playing. Josh Schmidt, our producer, will also be playing in the 11-Day Power Play next Thursday at 6 p.m., so feel free to come down, cheer us on, whatever you want to do, yell at us, you know, we'll take it. We'll be happy if you come down, join us, support us. And then tomorrow, excited to have Rob Ray to join us at 10:30. Rob, obviously the Sabres color commentator, was inducted into the Sabres Hall of Fame this past season. Now, he's also got another honor to his moniker. He's now going to be a Buffalo Broadcaster Hall of Fame coming up in September. And then at 11 a.m. tomorrow, we'll have Stephen Ellis from the Daily Faceoff talking some NHL draft and also some Sabres prospect talk as well. But you're more than welcome to join us. 803-0550 are the numbers.
Rob's going to join us from vacation.
Oh, where's he? Yeah. Where's he on vacation?
I told him they're leaving today.
Okay.
And I told him, look, you don't have to. He goes, I'll do it. I don't mind.
Okay.
I don't know. He's somewhere like Epcot or Disney or one of those places or whatever. And I think to myself, he probably wants a break. Knowing him, I can't see him rolling around Epcot or whatever and having like the best time of his life. But it gives him some great time with his family.
I know
he treasures that.
If he's at Epcot, he'll be able to go to all the different nations and be able to enjoy some adult beverages while walking around. I mean, he could do that while chatting with us.
Oh, he gave up adult beverages.
Oh,
he
yeah, does, that's right. That's right.
He does non-alcoholic beer.
Okay,
he drinks that.
He could do NAs.
But I've been on the road with him all along. I have never once seen him drink alcohol.
Right.
He decided when his career was over and he was married and had children, no more alcohol.
Okay.
He didn't want to do it, and I admire him a lot
yeah,
for that.
Me too.
It wasn't like he was an alcoholic or anything like that. He just decided it's time now to take responsibility for a family and everything. And you know, actually, I've had some non-alcoholic beers with him, some good, some bad. So I always like to see what they taste like and see what it is. So I guess I drink less now, too.
Well, I remember having that conversation with him. I think the last time that you and I hosted, we had him on during the West Coast road trip for the Sabres, and we talked about that a little bit. And, yeah, I commend Rob for that. But good on him. He'll join us. We'll have some fun with that as well. Paul, I do want to start off this show talking to you and kind of recapping the Stanley Cup final that was. And the one thing that I just can't get out of my head, Paul, is how the Edmonton Oilers, with the top talent that they have, especially Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl obviously factored into because he led the Oilers in scoring with 4 goals and 4 assists in the series, how they performed admirably well in the first 2 games, laid an egg in Game 3. They fought back to battle hard in Game 4 to end up tying the series at 2, and then Game 5 and 6, they just laid complete eggs. It's the second time that they've lost to the Florida Panthers in the final, and for me, it's just one of those conversations, Paul, that I keep having in my head is just when are these guys, McDavid and Draisaitl, more notably McDavid, going to win?
When Florida makes that deadly mistake. You know, Florida can play it any way you want to play it. If you want to run and gun, fine. If you want to play it tight, fine. They're just all over you the way they play. Now, it's almost happened both years where they got themselves into trouble this year was Toronto. You know, they lost the first two games, and they got behind, was it 3-0 in game three, I believe? They got behind in game three for sure.
Right, yeah.
I believe it was 3-0, something like that.
Yeah.
And Florida came back and won the game. And from that point forward, they were fine. But Toronto had the opportunity to go up 3-0 in that series and wasn't able to do it. So I think you've got to get Florida out of the equation if you're the Edmonton Oilers to try to move forward. It's kind of like, and I don't want to bring this up, but I will, like the Bills and the Chiefs. You know,
yeah.
The Bills would like to get the Chiefs out of the equation at some point if they could.
You're not wrong.
But I don't mean to be a jerk. I'm sorry, folks.
No, it's okay.
You know, I just think, you know, if they can find a way to get Florida out of that equation, I think, you know, they'll have the opportunity to do it a little bit. Not at all. I mean, Edmonton's a much better team than the Sabres were. But stop to think back when the Sabres had Eichel, Reinhardt, O'Reilly, and Kane.
Yeah.
And people don't give Kane enough credit. He's a great power forward who is, when he's not hurt, will score you 30 goals.
Yeah.
You know, so you had four guys of like that, and you were still at the bottom of the league.
Yeah.
How in the heck were they at the bottom of the league with those four guys, you know, around them? The answer would be because the GM didn't know how to fill in. I mean, they tanked for 2 years. It wasn't like they had tanked with anybody in mind the first time. They just, that's when the tank started.
Yep.
And it was basically for McDavid. But they wanted two high picks, and the first one was going to be the Ekblad, Reinhardt, Bennett, Dreisaitl draft. And, you know, they didn't win that draw. Florida got Ekblad, although Tim Murray said, and I heard that this was the case, had he had the first overall pick, he would have taken Sam Reinhardt anyway. That's where he wanted to go with that. So they tanked that year. They tanked the next year, and of course, as we know, they didn't get McDavid. But at least you knew you were going to get a superstar. You were either getting McDavid or Eichel.
Yeah.
And as good as Eichel is, and he's a great hockey player, and I call him a superstar, McDavid's better.
Agreed.
You know, so it's just, you know, so they were able to, and that's why I tell people. The tank itself was successful. They got what they wanted. What wasn't successful is they didn't have a GM that could fill in properly around Reinhardt and Eichel.
Right, right. It just seemed like
that's
to me,
where the problem was. It wasn't the tank. The tank got them what they wanted. They got what they wanted, and they got the great players. It was the fact that they didn't know how to build around those two players.
Yeah, and it seemed to me, Paul, that when we saw Tim Murray make those trades for Evander Kane, we saw him make the trade for Ryan O'Reilly. He drafted Reinhardt. He drafted Eichel. He even traded for Robin Leonard. It just seemed like the one thing in my mind that always sticks out about those types of trades and that team in particular, it was just like, okay, we know that some of them have their baggage issues or their, you know, their ways about them that make some people question, you know, their composure, their character, whatever. But it seemed like to me, Tim Murray just said, they're talented players, they get on the ice, they'll figure it out themselves, and they'll just go out and have success. And I agree with you in the point where it's just, they didn't have the rest of that team figured out, the depth players, the veteran players. It's sort of the same problems they have right now, where they can't get the right pieces to kind of help complement their star players or the players that are expected to step up and do well for them. And it showed on the ice badly, where the team had spurts of success, but they could never put anything consistently together to get themselves into a position where they could legitimately contend for a playoff spot.
And in my opinion, those players that you named, I think they overpaid for maybe all of them, especially Leonard. I'm not giving up a first round pick for Leonard.
No.
And Leonard had a good save percentage as a Saber. I don't think people hated Leonard right from the start because they didn't like the trade. They didn't like giving up a first round pick. So Leonard never had a chance here. They were on him before he ever stepped on the ice, and then injuries and stuff. But if you look at his save percentage, it was very good here. You know, when he was able to play and healthy, he was good. But I wouldn't have given up a first round pick. And what that did is the cupboard was now bare. So all right, you got those players in here, but What if plan A doesn't work? What's plan B? Because you have no prospects.
Yeah,
because you traded your high picks and your prospects, and Murray left the cupboard bare. So there was nothing he could do if Leonard did get hurt, which he did, or if it wasn't working out. I mean, he just left himself with nothing.
Don't bring up shootouts too with Leonard. That's a really tough talking point. A little bit of revisionist history, Paul. Let's go back to those trades. You know, the Evander Kane trade happened in February of 2015. Kane Bogosian and Jason Kasdorf, that's a name, came to Buffalo in exchange for the likes of Brendan Lemieux, Joel Armia, Drew Stafford, Tyler Myers, and a 2015 first-round pick, who, if I remember correctly, that became Jack Roslovic. And then
how many of those names you just named are first round picks? A lot of them.
Yeah. Some big
Army is a low pick, first round pick. You could say, as a first round pick, is he a bust? I don't think he's a bust as a hockey player. He's played a lot of games in the NHL, but still, he was a first round pick. I mean, you named Tyler Myers,
first
rounder. He won the Calder Trophy.
Drew Stafford, first rounder.
Drew Stafford.
Brendan Lemieux was the first pick of the 2014 draft, second round.
Didn't they move up to get Lemieux, if I'm not mistaken?
Am I mistaken? No, he was the first pick of the second round. So
I know, but didn't they move up?
I don't think so, because they would have had that pick anyway.
That's why I like having you or Mike Shope around, because my brain, if it didn't happen yesterday, I'm like, huh?
Yeah.
And when we're just talking like this, it's I don't want to take the 5 minutes to go look it up. So it's nice when I have the two of you who are basically like encyclopedias.
Yeah, I'm just trying to look back at this 2015 draft to see that pick that the Sabres traded. That would have been – oh, man. Sorry, I'm trying to do this on the fly as we're going here, and it's horrible radio, I know. That's something I'm just going to – okay, here we go. It was the Blues pick originally, and it became – yeah, I think it became Jack Roslovic.
Yeah, okay. No, it is. I'm looking at it now, Stafford, Myers,
yep,
Army.
Yeah, there it is, right there.
The round one pick in 2015 is Roslovic for Bogosian, Kane, and Kasdorf.
And Jack Roslovic is a pretty darn good player right now. He's scoring a lot for Carolina.
Yeah, Kasdorf basically was an AHL guy that, he might have sat here backed up one time or something. But
he had a cup of coffee in the NHL with the Sabres. The Ryan O'Reilly trade was Ryan O'Reilly and Jamie McGinn for Nikita Zadorov, Mikhail Grigorenko, JT Compher, and a second round pick in 2015. Again, as you made mention, a lot of first and early second round talent there. And then the Robin Leonard trade was Robin Leonard and David Legwand, and aged out David Legwand for a 2015 first round pick.
Yeah. And although I'll tell you what, it's something we can talk about here. You've heard me say many times, I'm not taking a goaltender in the first round of the draft. I'm not trading a first round pick for a goaltender. But now, I don't know. Now that I see the goaltending problems that they have, and I see Tampa Bay a first round pick to win a couple of Stanley Cups, I mean, you've got to have goaltending to win the Stanley Cup.
Mm-hmm.
So I basically talked to myself and said to myself, well, if you have to have great goaltending to win the Stanley Cup, why are you so staunch on not spending a first-round pick or trading a first-round pick to get a top-flight goalie? And I couldn't answer myself. I've kind of changed my mind a little bit about that. The thought process was, when you look at save percentages of goaltenders, they're close, and a lot of times people say, well, you can get a goaltender anywhere. Yeah, maybe, but... you look at the guys who've been winning the cup lately, maybe it's something to think about that maybe you do have to spend some assets or whatever to get yourself a very good goaltender.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you look back to the Robin Leonard trade resulted in Ottawa picking Colin White, not a great first round pick, but let's just say the Sabres never traded Robin Leonard for the first rounder and they still had it. They could have picked up a guy like Brock Besser or Travis Konecny, even Jack Roslovic, looking a little further
what
down the line here.
What year was that draft?
2015. Sebastian Aho was part of that.
I tell
they
you
could
exactly
have drafted
who
him.
They were going to pick.
Sebastian Aho.
No, they were taking a goalie.
Ilya Samsonov.
Yes, that's who they were taking.
Gotcha.
If they would have kept the pick, that's where they were going.
Well,
White went 21st, and Samsonov went 22nd, and that's who they were going to take.
Yeah. Man, I just that 2015 class was amazing, and it obviously topped off with Connor McDavid, who is, I mean, at least in my eyes, Paul, he's the best player I've ever seen take the ice. I mean, I know I'm younger, and I remember Gretzky in the very end of his career with the New York Rangers, and he was not close to the player that I've seen in highlights when he was with the Oilers or even with the Kings. Connor McDavid, for me, seeing a player on the ice physically, watching him, whether it was at the junior level or here at the NHL level with the Oilers, he is the best player I've seen, hands down, no question about it, take the ice. And it's still amazing to me that he's 10 years now into his career and
crazy
he hasn't won a Stanley Cup yet.
But it's crazy. It's been 10 years.
Yeah.
I mean, they were in the 15 draft. I can't believe that, you know, once next week rolls around, it'll be 10 years ago, we were sitting there walking around talking to Jack Eichel after the draft.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable to me. Now, I did see Gretzky, so I would say McDavid is the second best player I have seen. I always say this, and I say it same about football. Gretzky is the best player I've ever seen, because I didn't see those guys in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I saw Gordie Howe when he was like 50 some odd years old.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't see Gordie Howe or Rocket Richard or mm-hmm. Jean Beliveau or, you know, those guys. So I always say that I've seen, and I do it in football too. O.J. Simpson by far is the best running back I have ever seen, and it isn't even close. But I never saw James Brown,
Jim Brown.
I didn't see either one of them. Let me put it that way. I never saw Jim Brown, so I can't say that O.J. Simpson is the best running back mm-hmm. ever, because I didn't see those guys, but he's the best one I've ever seen.
Right.
And it's not even close.
Yeah, and the one thing about McDavid that – and I think I've seen this conversation come up a couple of different outlets, and it's something that I thought of immediately, even before this Stanley Cup final ended. Connor McDavid right now is the best hockey player in the world that is playing and has never won a championship. I think it's arguable that he's the best player to ever play and not win a championship. And I know, Paul, you probably can name a few of them, but in the list of players that, you know, I was able to think off the top of my head and just doing this quickly, you know, Marcel Dion might be seen as the number one guy that has never won a championship in his years of playing hockey. I think Connor McDavid blows him out of the water right now, just given the way that he has played, the production he's had through 712 games in 10 years, Paul. He has over 1,000 points already.
Yeah, no, I'd agree. I mean, especially when we're both saying, you know, he's the best player you've ever seen. He's the second best player I've ever seen,
mm-hmm.
and he doesn't have a cup. So yeah. I think it just I agree with you 100%.
Yeah.
And Marcel Dion was a great player, but he wasn't Connor McDavid.
No.
You know, so yeah, there are some guys that haven't won. You know, in other sports, I mean, we can talk about great Buffalo Bills that never,
yeah.
you know, won.
I think Connor McDavid is arguably at near the top of the list for the best athletes in any sport to never win a championship
yeah.
right now.
I mean, if you want to say Bruce Smith and Jim Kelly, you know, those guys. I've always, and a lot of people disagree with me, I look at those guys as champions. They won the AFC championship four times in mm-hmm. a row. I know they didn't win the Super Bowl. But to me, they are not losers. I don't look at guys who win four have done something that no team has ever done before, including the New England Patriots, and that's go to four consecutive Super Bowls and win four straight AFC championships. And I can't call that team a bunch of losers. I can't. I understand they never won the Super Bowl, but I, you know, to win the AFC championship four times in a row, I think is a huge accomplishment.
Yeah, and this goes into my show prep here, so you'll get an idea. I just went to Google and typed in best athletes to never win a championship. A lot of them are basketball players, Paul, and they're all right up there too. You have a couple of football players, a couple of baseball players, but the only hockey player that came up right immediately was Marcel Dion, and the only other one that I would say right now that you could also throw into this conversation with McDavid is Joe Thornton, and that's it. That's it for hockey.
that's fair.
So here's some of the players that lists on Google. And if you want to chime in on the best athletes to never win a championship in this conversation, 803-0550. Allen Iverson, Charles Barkley, Karl Malone, Patrick Ewing are the first ones that pop up. Reggie Miller, John Stockton as well for basketball. Football, it's Dan Marino right now. I mean, he was such a great passer and had a stellar career in Miami and could never win anything, which still boggles my mind. Football, you've got Barry Sanders as well. Baseball, Ken Griffey Jr., Ted Williams, Ty Cobb, Barry Bonds. I mean, some really incredible athletes that are listed and that have gotten talked about so much as being a pinnacles of their sport to never win a championship. And still, in my eyes, I think Connor McDavid is absolutely higher up than any of these guys. That's at least
you,
in my mind.
I could give you one Buffalo Sabre who was one of the best hockey players that's ever lived.
Gilbert?
The best. Yep. Gilbert never won one. And
Dominic
Hasek. Gilbert was one of those guys that I loved watching him go end-to-end and everything, and I always thought there's a little bit left. And one of the reasons that I thought that is when he played in the Canada Cup, Scotty Bowman said when he put the line of Gretzky, LaFleur, and Perreault played left wing together, it's the best line he's ever seen.
Hmm.
And it's the best line I've ever seen. They were phenomenal. And you know who was the best player on the line? Gilbert Perreault. He was – I had never seen him play like that.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, he got hurt. Was it a broken leg, I believe, something like that? And actually, he missed a lot of Sabre games because that tournament was played near the end of summer, you know, for the Canada Cup. And unfortunately, he got hurt. But that was the thing. He was playing with a young Wayne Gretzky and Guy Lafleur, and he was the best player on the line. So I saw Gilbert Perreault at his very, very, very best. And I always felt that, I don't know if we always saw that as a Sabre, as great as he was. It just seemed like that the hockey that was one step above that I saw at the Canada Cup, I didn't always see with the Buffalo Sabres.
803-0551, 888-552-550. Let's squeeze in a phone call here. Let's go to Mike in Hamburg. Mike, what's going on this morning? How are you today?
Good morning.
Morning.
Well, there's a couple of players you guys did not talk about that I thought that I think. First off, I'm going to tell you this. Even though I kind of coached this kid, Patrick Kane is the best skater I've ever seen, by far.
Hmm.
Patrick Kane also has the best hands I've ever seen. Number two with the best hands is Jill Perreault. One of the best players that you guys have not talked about is Bobby Orr.
Hmm.
But Bobby Orr won with the Boston Bruins.
Yeah, I'm not talking about winning.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah, we were talking about guys who haven't won.
There's another, there's another one, another great skater, too, that I consider is one of the best players to ever play. He played for Edmonton. He was not Wayne Gretzky. He was Paul Coffey.
But also won a Stanley Cup, too.
Yeah, they did. But as far as the greatest players, that's what I was listening to. Because you guys you guys mentioned Wayne Gretzky, okay? And he won a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, you won four. Yeah, so
that's why I said that.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Thanks for the call,
to me,
Mike.
Bobby Orr is the best defenseman that's ever lived, and again, that I've seen. I haven't seen Doug Harvey and, you know, some of the ones back then, but Bobby Orr is the best defenseman I've ever seen.
Yeah. Let's see. Who's the best defenseman that I can say that I've ever watched play?
Bet overall defenseman might be Lidstrom.
Nick Lidstrom was so good. He was good overall.
I mean, Bobby Orr was a good defenseman. He could fight. I mean, I remember he fought Jim Schoenfeld. So he was tough. He was a good defenseman. He changed the way defensemen play from an offensive standpoint, but he wasn't bad defensively. It wasn't like he was awful.
Yeah.
But he wasn't Lidstrom defensively, and Lidstrom wasn't Bobby Orr offensively.
I got to say, Paul, I think Cale Makar might be on that list right now of the best defensemen that I could see playing years and down the line and just producing. He's just so good. He's so good from the back end. And I remember that draft class, too, because he was 2017, I think he was, 2017 draft. And just the talk of him, you know, oh, hey, he's coming out of the Alberta Junior Hockey League, and nobody really knows who this kid is, but he can motor. He's good. And he fell to the Colorado Avalanche at four, and
he wasn't even the first defenseman.
Right, right. Miro Heiskanen went above him, one pick above him.
And look at, you know, Nolan Patrick was second overall. Many felt he was going to be first overall.
Yeah.
And even before he got injured, he wasn't what I think everybody thought he was going to be. Then injuries just devastated. He only played like 222 games in the NHL. His year has really blossomed into a real nice player for New Jersey. But I would have, you know, if we're doing the draft today, I'm not taking his year over at Makar.
Yeah. It's,
you know, Makar's, to my mind, if you redo this draft, is the number one overall pick easily.
Oh, 1,000%. Kel Makar is the number one pick. I do the redrafts from time to time, Paul. I'm probably going to do the 2015 draft this summer. But, looking right now, I'd probably have Makar, Heiskanen 1-2, probably Nick Suzuki number 3, then Jake Ottinger 4, and then Heischer 5. Like, this is just glancing through right now. I'd have to take the time to do a little bit digging deeper, but yeah, that 2017 class was something. 803-0551, 888-552-550. Thanks, Mike, for the call. You're more than welcome to join us. Talking the discussion of Connor McDavid being arguably the best athlete in any sport to not win a championship, and McDavid's still playing. And we're already talking about this, where he's lost back-to-back Stanley Cups. He won the Conn Smythe as the playoff MVP last year. Not so much this year, but we'll have the discussion more. Also want to talk, Paul, some of McDavid's comments after the Stanley Cup, and also just what his future holds as well, before we get to Mike Morial at 11 o'clock, talk some NHL draft. Brayton Wilson, Paul Hamilton here with you on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and you're listening to WGR.
I mean, obviously their forecheck was great. They tilted the rink. They were able to kind of stay on top of us all over the place. Never really able to generate any momentum up the ice.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
We kept trying the same thing over and over again, just banging our heads against the wall. So credit to them. They played well.
That's Oilers captain Connor McDavid talking after their Game 6 loss to the Florida Panthers, an ugly 5-1 loss for them. That team looked dejected even after the first period, and then after the second period, they looked completely done. They looked like they had nothing left and had no drive to try and get themselves back into the game and try and force a Game 7. Brayton Wilson here with you on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Paul Hamilton also joining us here on the show, as he'll be here with me for the next couple of days as we're filling in for Sal here on the Extra Point Show.
Why aren't we broadcasting near the Erie County Botanical Gardens? They got a bear over there. We could have been sitting outside welcoming the bear.
That's new. I didn't know that there was a bear over by the Botanical Gardens.
I was just seeing that. Neighbors in South Buffalo spotted an apparent bear early this morning just north of the Botanical Gardens.
Mm.
We could have set up a nice little card table there and hung
bear
out with the bear.
Watch. Yes, we could have engaged in bear watch again. Last year I was part of the coverage on WBEN of bear watch in Amherst. The Amherst bear decided to come back.
The account, which is the Amherst Bear,
yes,
is on vacation, answered, "It wasn't me."
I remember when the original Amherst Bear. Unfortunately, it ended badly for that bear, but I don't even know what the word is. The fanatics about that bear was something off the charts. And then when the second Amherst Bear came about last year, that account like sprung back up again, and it was phenomenal. So gotta love bear coverage here in Western New York. I mean, if you go out to the hinterlands my way, I'm sure you're more likely to find a bear. But of course, being up in near the city or near the North Towns or anything like that, bear coverage is prime.
I live in a very residential area,
mm-hmm,
in the village of Lancaster. I do have deer problem here. They demolish my gardens.
Yeah.
So I've been fighting that.
Yep.
But in February, a year ago February, I had a deer that kept coming in my backyard, going over the fence and mm-hmm coming in, but he'd be laying under the heat vent, which I thought was a little bit weird, and I couldn't get rid of him. I'd make noise and he wouldn't leave. And I went to bed one Saturday night and got up on Sunday and he was dead underneath my deck.
Oh.
And I'm thinking that I did not have that on my bingo card, that I was going to have a dead deer in my backyard. And, you know, they will come pick up the deer, but they won't come in your backyard. So I had to drag the thing out to the street.
Mm.
I covered it because I didn't want kids to see it and everything. I had an old pool cover that I put over. And, yeah, they were here by 9 a.m. to pick it up. But I just never would have dreamed in a million years. You could have bet me a lot of money and won a lot of money that I would be dragging a deer out of my backyard.
Mm, yeah, that's something that I don't think I could say that I've heard you have to do, or anyone really have to do, is drag a dead deer out of their yard unless you hunted the deer yourself.
When I called the police, not 911, I called a regular number. She said that when a deer gets hit and injured, they can still leap. So she said him coming over the fence, she thought he probably got hit by a car.
Mm.
And then chose my yard to die in. But she said that even though they're injured, they can easily make it over the fence.
So back to our conversation about Connor McDavid, Paul. I'm looking at the all-time scoring list, and I was just curious where McDavid is right now. I mean, he's played 10 years. He's already got over 1,000 points in the NHL. He's currently 71st in all-time scoring. There's a realistic chance, Paul, that if he puts up another, say, 100-point season, that he at the very least jumps into like the 55-54 range of all-time points in the NHL. Like, I mean, at this point, I know this year was a little bit more of a down year for McDavid. He only put up this year, what did he put up this year? 74, actually, no, just straight up 100 points. 26 goals, 74 assists, and 100 points. But let's just say he adds another 100 points to his resume this year. I mean, he's right up there with Rod Brind'Amour, who has 1,184 career points in his storied career. Steven Stamkos right now is 1,190, and he's going to continue to add to that. But he's quickly climbing up the ranks here, and I guess I just didn't realize how quickly he's actually continuing to climb.
Now, we know, of course, Ovechkin caught Wayne Gretzky in goals.
Yep.
But it's going to be a chore for somebody to catch him in points because Wayne Gretzky has more assists than the next guy has points.
He
has more assists than the number two guy all time in the NHL has points.
That still blows my mind to this day. I mean, listen, I think McDavid has the potential when all is said and done to be number two behind Gretzky in the all-time points list. And then the discussion will be, well, if Gretzky played in this era of hockey, you know, would he even come close to McDavid, or would McDavid come even close to Gretzky if he had played back then? You know, hockey's evolved over the years. But at this point, watching McDavid play, how he dominates on a night-in, night-out basis, don't ask about the playoffs. He's all over the ice, and he's the best player in the world for a reason. Now, the Stanley Cup final, he had 7 points, only one goal, and the one goal he scored was when Edmonton was down 3-0 or 4-0 at home in Game 5. Just kind of a pointless goal, but yeah, again, the whole discussion of him being the best player in the world to not win a championship that's going to just stay in my head all summer and until he gets to the Cup final next. Because again, we don't know if he'll ever get back there. You just never know.
During this year's playoffs, or maybe one of the outdoor games, Gretzky did answer that playing in different eras, and he said, you got to remember, he goes, there's two things I didn't get to play in. Number one, the power play starts in the offensive zone, and number two, 3-on-3.
Yeah, that too.
Because I didn't get to do either one. So I thought, yeah, he's right.
and you never know, because it could be a situation for McDavid. This could be his only two appearances in the Cup Finals, similar to Dan Marino. Dan Marino made the Super Bowl in, what, year two of his career and never got back. You never know. 803-0551, 888-552-550. Dave on a cell phone has some thoughts on McDavid's legacy. Dave, how's it going this morning?
Hey, guys. I'm a Sabres fan first, and I became an Oilers fan, which is my second favorite team in the 80s when Gretzky and Messier were there. I saw an article recently right in the start of the playoffs, and they were talking about the Mount Rushmores of NHL teams, and the first one they had featured was the Oilers. And they had Gretzky, of course, Messier, Fuhr, and then they had McDavid on there. And as a Oiler fan, I completely disagree with that, because McDavid hasn't won. I think that Coffey, Curry, there's other Oiler players over the years deserve that spot over McDavid. And, you know, as much as McDavid, and I think he's a fantastic, I love him, and he's a great player, but when you look at a team like the Oilers and you look at their history, McDavid's maybe in the top 5-6 of their overall top players of all time, all positions. How do you guys feel about that? How do you feel about that, Paul?
I don't necessarily think he has to win to be up there. I mean, he's a better hockey player than Jari Kurri. Paul Coffey played another position. Paul Coffey wasn't the best defensive defenseman that ever lived, for sure. I mean, he was huge offensively for that team and for that team. Grant Fuhr, you really can't look at numbers because of the fire wagon hockey that team played. What I always loved about Grant Fuhr was, when you needed the big save at the big time, he did it every time. He always made that big save for you when it had. It might be a 6-5 game, but, you know, a playoff game or something like that. But at the end of the day, when you had to have a save or an overtime, he was there every time. And I always admired that about him. I mean, you look at his numbers, and some people would say, what's he doing in the Hall of Fame? Well, that's why. Because, you know, there weren't too many goaltenders that were better in the clutch than he was.
Yeah, and then his Sabres career wasn't, I don't think, definitely
well, that
didn't
was
live
near
up.
The end
yeah.
of his,
right.
His tenure. He was in, well, the last year the Montreal Canadiens won the Cup, they played the Sabres. I believe that was the Grand Fury year,
mm-hmm.
where Dominic Hasek wound up finishing up the series and played really well. Dominic Hasek came in against Boston. That was it. And then Fuhrer, I think, played against Montreal, and there was a lot of thought, well, Fuhrer was injured, and was he trying to play hurt? Maybe they would have been better off going with a young Dominic Hasek. He wasn't yet Dominic Hasek. The reason he was a Saber is because he was a backup to Ed Belfour in Chicago.
Yeah.
And it showed signs of being a great goaltender, but Chicago decided we're going with Ed Belfour.
Yep.
So John Muckler wound up getting Hasek, but he also had Fuhrer because John Muckler knew what Grant Fuhrer could do his days in Edmonton. And so Hasek was just waiting for that chance to play and came in. You know, when Brad May scored the Mayday goal, who was in net? Who was the first one to get to him?
Hasek.
Dominic Hasek,
mm-hmm.
because of the injury to Fuhrer. But, I think Grant Fuhrer just, you know, I think his body just kind of let him down once he became a Saber.
Yeah, looking back at the 1992 and also 1993 trades, the Hasek trade still regarded as one of the most lopsided trades in history. Stefan Beauregard and a fourth round pick, which ended up being Eric Daze, not a bad player, going to Chicago for Hasek. And then that trade in 93 to get Grant Fuhrer was Fuhrer and a fifth round pick to Buffalo for Andrechuk Pupa and a first round pick, which ended up being Kenny Johnson. When we come back, Paul, I want to play you a clip and want to get your thoughts. Sal brought it up yesterday when he was hosting the Extra Point Show, but I want to get your thoughts on something. It's McDavid related. I know it's been very heavy McDavid in the first hour, but
We've got two days.
Yes, exactly. We got a lot to talk about. Brayton Wilson, Paul Hamilton filling in for the Extra Point Show on this Thursday morning. You're listening to WGR.
The window is sort of closing, and this is an odd one. It's closing not because of his age, but because of his contract status. There's an awful lot of talk within the sport that if they don't win this year, McDavid might look elsewhere. He still has a year left on his contract after this season. But if you're the Oilers and you know you can't re-sign him, you can't let him go to free agency and not get anything for the greatest player in the game.
Paul, that was Steve Levy, ESPN Steve Levy, when he joined the Jim Rome show earlier this week talking about Edmonton's potential window closing and the possibility of Edmonton maybe trading the best player in the world to if they're not guaranteed that they're going to sign him to a new contract after he's a free agent in the summer of 26, that there's the possibility of maybe he gets moved. I mean, in your mind, what would it take for the Sabres to even try to even think about landing McDavid?
Well, first of all, I don't believe it. I don't think that's true. Everything I've read points to he's staying. It's just a fact. What's the contract going to look like? It'll be the top contract he can get. There's no question about that.
Right.
And maybe how many years it's going to be. But as far as that's you know, so I got stuck right there. That there, yeah, anything can happen. Never say never. A lot of people never thought the Edmonton Oilers would trade Wayne Gretzky until the NHL basically forced them to, and Peter Pocklington needed money, and he got a lot of money for that trade. I just don't see Edmonton trading Connor McDavid, and I, from anything I've read or heard, he's not asking for that to happen either.
Right, yeah. I mean, the idea of trying to trade for McDavid, I mean, you'd have to give up so much in order to just entertain the services of Connor McDavid.
You're giving up Thompson.
Right.
You might have to give up Darlene.
Yeah.
It might take Darlene and Thompson and picks or something like that. You probably would have to give up Darlene.
Yeah.
So that's where I think you're going with that. If the Sabres were, trying to trade for a player like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would love the idea of doing it. I would love to have the possibility of trying to acquire a guy like McDavid. It's just I don't. The next question, too, at that point is what is he exactly going to get paid? And I agree with you wholeheartedly. He's going to get probably the max contract of 8 years and – I don't think there's a limit to how much a player can make, but I mean, he's probably going to make $15, $16 million. He's making more than Draisaitl, that's for sure. Draisaitl's up for $14 million.
Sorry, I don't know it.
Okay.
You're in the ballpark.
Yeah.
But there is a limit.
Okay. All right. I'm not too well versed with the CBA, maybe as much as I used to be, with me being in the news more so than sports world, but you know, I did remember something like that. But all right, we got to go to break here, Paul. But we've got Mike Morial coming up from NHL.com. We'll talk about the NHL draft coming up. We'll also get some thoughts from him on maybe some Sabres prospects that he's paying attention to in the upcoming season and the years to come. Whether or not maybe somebody can make the jump to the NHL, who knows? Maybe Yuri Kulik did that last year. Is there anybody else that could do that this upcoming season? We'll find out from Mike, and we'll continue to take your phone calls. Mark, I know you're hanging on holds, please. So if you got the time, stick around. If not, you can call us back a little later in the show. Brayton Wilson here with you on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Paul Hamilton joining along. One more hour to go here on WGR.
You're listening to the Extra Point Show from the Just Call Jed Studios. Injured? Call Jed.com. WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, welcome back to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Paul coming through in the break with the exact total that the max contract can be had, $19.1 million AAV, a salary cap total of $95.5 million. I don't think McDavid's going to get that, but certainly that's something that he's certainly worthy of, just, of course, with the way that he plays and the production that he puts up.
Well, Matt Duchene didn't get that. He signed a four-year deal in Dallas at $4.5 million average.
Yes. Thank you for bringing that up, Paul. I was going to at some point, but you beat me to the punch. Joining us right now on the Wester Hotline, it's been a while since we've last talked with Mike Morial from NHL.com, but Mike was gracious enough to join us this morning to talk some NHL draft, as we're about a week away from the draft taking place in Los Angeles. Mike, it's been a while since we've got the chance to last speak about draft talk in the hockey world. How are you, good sir?
Hello, Brayton. Hello, Paul. Glad to be on with you guys this morning. It's we're at that point, right, guys? It's the end of the Stanley Cup Final. Dominant performance by the Florida Panthers. Congratulations to the organization there, and congrats to the Edmonton Oilers too on reaching the Cup Final and what they had to go through to get there. I don't think no one anticipated that happening. And now we're gearing up for the NHL Draft in LA at LA Live's Peacock Theater. Going to be exciting. It's a brand new type setting, right, guys? It's going to be decentralized, so we'll get to see what that's all about.
And, yeah.
There's a lot of good prospects in this draft, so it's going to be interesting how everything comes together and falls.
Do you like this? Just because it's the first year doing it, and you mentioned, I mean, the players are going to be in Los Angeles. I'm going to be at Highmark Stadium here in Buffalo in Orchard Park, home of the Bills, covering the draft because that's where the Sabres are going to be. Do you like this setup?
Hey, you know what, Paul? It's definitely going to be different from previous events as it moves from that centralized format that we are accustomed to. The NHL looks like they're going to invite a little over 90 prospects to attend the draft. Team execs, coaches, and scouts won't be present for the most part. You know, each team is going to gather, as you mentioned, Paul, at a central location at their home market or a place of their choosing. It's going to be different in a way because you're not going to. And I spoke to a few GMs and some scouts about this when I was at the combine about the new format. And you know, I think the biggest thing and what everyone, you know, what everyone was kind of referring back to is the fact that you're not going to be on the floor being able to discuss things with GMs, and Danny Briere discussed, you know, just having the capability of just getting up and going over to a table, that type of thing. But you know, other people did mention too that it's also kind of good because, you know, you're with your group, you're hunkered in, you can get business done. There's no extraneous things to take your mind off what needs to be accomplished as an organization. So I guess there's benefits. But to me, it's going to be different for me not to see the GMs and the scouts and everyone else there on the draft floor with the team placards, you know, on the tables. It's always a fun time. But we'll see how it goes.
Well, Mike, certainly the NHL draft, when looking at the prospects, we know that Matthew Schaefer and Michael Misa have widely been regarded as the top two prospects in this year's draft, with many mocks having Matthew Schaefer going one, Michael Misa going number two. What intrigues you about both of those prospects overall?
Yeah, well, Matt Schaefer, you know, to me is at the top rate, no doubt. You know, how many number one defensemen are there in the league right now? I know for sure it's not 32. I mean, is it 16? Is it 25? What I do know is Schaefer is someone who could take over a game from the back end, recognizes what skill he needs to use to do that. He's able to size up opponents as good as anyone I've seen, because you can see him adapt his game as it goes on. Erie General Manager David Brown told me something very interesting, guys. He remembered former Erie GM Sherry Bassin talking about Connor McDavid in an interview back in 2015. And it was almost similar to what they're saying now about Schaefer. Look, I know they play different positions, but the fact that he had the ability to make plays before the plays happened, he knew where pucks were going, knew what he was going to do once he had the puck on his stick. It's his instinctual vision, his hockey IQ and awareness that were off the charts. And I think that kind of sums up, you know, really the kind of player that Schaefer is. And as far as Mies is concerned, and to me, with the size at 6'1", 184, he played wing prior to this season, guys. As you probably know, he played center this season and really stood out. The scouts loved what they saw from him down the middle. Skating, passing, the hockey sense. My NHL comparable to Michael Misa is Steven Stamkos and what Stammer was able to do, you know, his first few years in the league. He's highly skilled, smart, does everything you can ask for or expect, and he does it all while playing the game the right way. He's that 200-foot player, his details in every area of the ice, very responsible in his own end of the ice. He's that type of player, and he does it with such quickness and elite hockey sense that it's just great to watch. So two fantastic players here. And if I were to tier them, it's Schaefer one. You then draw the line, and then Mises in a group of other, you know, really good high caliber players.
Now we look at a lot of people say that the draft really starts with pick number three, which is held by the Chicago Blackhawks. And from there, it's pick three to 10, 11, 12, where it's kind of a toss up where who can go where, which players are more sought after than others. Are you seeing any sort of surprises or sensing anything in that range, especially where the Sabres are at number nine, that could play out come next Friday in the first round?
I'll tell you what, Brent, like that 2 to 5 range, I'm looking at Misa, I'm looking at Caleb Desnoyers, I'm looking at Anton Frandell and James Hagans. Those are the players, and I'm sure you've heard and read a lot about them. 6 to 11, you're looking at the Porter Martones, the Jake O'Briens, the Victor Eklunds, who was a teammate of Frondell's this year in the Girardin. Roger McQueen, who's coming off the back injury, but looked very, very healthy and ready to go at the combine, did all the testing and did it very well. The kid Brady Martin, real hard-nosed player from Sault Ste. Marie in the O, goes about 6'1", 178. I'm a big fan. The kid does it all. Brady Martin is a player that could be in that range for the Sabres. Look, when I think of the Sabres two guys, like, they're at a point now, they have some good prospects in the system, but you'd want to kind of bulk up. But they're at a point where transitioning to a win now mode is more important to me, you know, for the fan base and everyone, than acquiring draft picks and future prospects. So it's going to be interesting to see how many of their 10 picks in this draft could be in play. But I know for sure they should keep that first one, because they're going to get an elite player here. The players, obviously, you have the defenseman, Radim Mertka from Seattle. Big size player, 6'6", 207, has been outstanding since he showed up in Seattle the middle of this season. The guy that I had going to the Sabres in my most recent mock draft, and not only the fact is he a real good, solid defenseman, and Kayshawn Acheson, the defenseman from Barrie, but he plays with an edge in his game. And let's face it, the Sabres could use, whether it be a forward with some, you know, some aggressive play, someone that's going to stand up for teammates, or someone on the back end. Keyshawn, you know, he's one of the most physical, competitive defenders I've seen come through the Ontario League in the last decade. Defensive intensity never wavers. He's a feared hitter, block shots. He got tangled up with Porter Martone on several occasions in many games when they played Brampton this year. They dropped the mitts. It was a lot of fun. And the funny thing is, guys, that Keyshawn Adjison and Porter Martone were roommates at the combine, and they didn't know that that was going to happen. So here's Keyshawn getting ready to walk into the room, and there's Porter Martone standing there like, oh, hey, what's going on? So if they had mitts, they probably would have dropped them then. But those are a few players. You know, the Brady Martins, the Keyshawn Adjisons, the Radim Mertkus, those are the players that I think could be in the range of the Sabres. And those would be fantastic picks.
I heard about Mirka. A lot of folks have talked about him going to the Sabres. A right-handed shooting defenseman, something the Sabres desperately need. But when I read about it and talk to people about it, they're not sure he would be available at 9. They think he might be gone by 9. Do you see that?
Yeah. I mean, that's quite possible, Paul. Look, the thing is that this – to me, when I look at this draft, it's top heavy with centers. And who doesn't need centers? Whether you have them in your prospect pipeline or not, you always want to maybe add to that because you could use them as trade bait down the road or anything else. So it's good better to have more assets than fewer. So, but look, I like Radim Mertka. I think he's probably, well, I would say in my opinion, probably the second best defenseman on the board in this draft. But again, as I said, he, you know, was outstanding since he showed up in Seattle, played about 30 minutes a night in all situations, handles that shutdown role. The thing that I didn't know that, you know, I did discuss with Radim when I saw him at the combine was he really started dedicating himself to hockey when he was 14 years old. So here we are 4 years later, and now he's the number 5 prospect on Central Scouting's final ranking of North American skaters. So to me, and I wrote about this in my story on NHL.com, Radim Mertka probably has the highest ceiling of anyone in this draft because he's really starting to come into his own as far as hockey development and what he needs to do to improve in his game. And when you have a guy that's 6'6", 207, as you said, Paul, right-handed shot, yeah, that's a lot to be desired. And not only that, he played against Jaromír Jágr, had an opportunity to play against Jágr when he was playing in the Czech League. He said that was a lot of fun. He goes, but you know what? I couldn't get the puck off of him for whatever reason. I just couldn't get that puck away from him. And then I was like, well, don't worry about Radim. Neither can anyone in the NHL. So, Radim, he could be gone. But if he's not, I think that would be a real solid choice as well, Paul.
Mike Morial, NHL.com, joining us on the Wester Hotline here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. I do love the idea of drafting Radim Mertka with the 9th overall pick, if he's available, of course. But, Mike, you made mention of one guy that in the conversation with Keyshawn Adjison with Porter Martone, saw a couple of people talking where earlier this year he was slotted to potentially be a top 3, top 5 pick in that group. Group with the likes of Misa, Hagens, Frondell, even Caleb Desnoyer. Now there's been some talk that he could fall down the draft board. I mean, he was at the World Juniors playing for Canada this past year. He's been at the World Championship with Canada as well. What is it that might lead him to dropping down the board to even some point where some people are saying he could be available for the Sabres at number 9, being a 6'3", 205-foot winger?
You know what I think? Great, I've talked to a lot of scouts about this. What's the reason? At first, it comes to me like maybe the thought of there are so many good centermen in this draft with good size as well. So when you're comparing apples to oranges, and the apple is a 6'1", 6'2" center that's capable of doing some of the same things that Porter can, then maybe you go with that. Maybe you go with that other player, a Jake O'Brien or someone of that sort with similar, not similar size, but close to it and plays with the same type of style. But Porter Martone, to me, did nothing to diminish what everyone thought of him earlier in the year. There were some skeptics out there that, you know, did say the skating was might have been an issue for Porter entering the season. But to me, when I watched him on tape, saw him live, major issues in the skating that can't be developed and groomed and marinated, you know, over the course of, you know, a year, 2 years, which with whatever NHL team does take him. He has that package that teams look for, right? He has a little bit more of the size asset element to his game than some of the other skaters in this top five do. I think that's appealing to some teams, but I also think he's eliminated those concerns about the skating. He's undervalued on his skill set, guys. He's the one who wears his compete on his sleeve, and I think that's really what endears him to a lot of NHL clubs. And look, I did speak to some clubs, some teams that are in that top six, top seven range. I said, hey, you know, yeah, we know there are good centers in this draft, but there's also a pretty good right wing, big size right wing that we could be looking at as well. So, look, I talked to, you know, James Richmond, the coach over there, and he was telling me about how, you know, the comparisons to Corey Perry are you know, right, you know, very on the mark and what he's been able to bring. And look, he's a captain, too, with Brampton. That's not easy to do, a young 17, 18-year-old as a captain on the team. He went to Canada, was at the World Championships, helped Canada out the World Junior Championships on an international level. He's been there, done that. So this is a player, Brayton, and I agree with you. Like, if he's there for the Sabres at nine, they got to think long and hard before passing on a player like Porter Marton.
Another player that's really intriguing in this year's draft, and I think you can kind of easily point back to a player that was drafted high last year in Caden Lindstrom, but this year, Roger McQueen is another player that, I mean, I've seen plenty of people liken him to Tage Thompson just with his size and his ability as a right shot player down the middle of the ice, but the back injuries are a concern with him as well. I mean, how do you see things playing out with him? And I mean, he's another guy that obviously could be available for the Sabres at nine, but there's some that still believe he could go as high as in the top five, and then others that feel like he could drop out of the top 10.
6'5", 197, right-handed shot, ticks a lot of boxes, Brayden, in terms of his size and the skill level. A big guy who's got that potential to be a number one center in the NHL one day, can contribute on your top power play unit, moves very well for the size, he can get with, you know, get to where he needs to be on the ice, with or without the puck, possesses the game, you know, he processes the game so well. Really good decision maker with the puck once he has it, and it's so hard to contain him. His shot is excellent. Now, obviously there were those, you know, talks at the combine that even shocked, you know, we were shocking in that he was misdiagnosed with the back injury almost, it's been almost 2 years. So that was, you know, they had said it was a bulging disc when actually it was a fracture in his back. So he was doing rehab for a bulging disc for some time before finally got that second opinion because it wasn't healing properly and he wasn't feeling well. So he did get that all straightened out with over the past year. I know he missed a lot of time this year, but it was because of the recovery. And it was because of what Brandon wanted him to go through to make sure he was 100%. They don't want to injure their top centerman. And then, you know, the proof was in the pudding, guys, right at the combine. He did all the testing. He did them well. He was very happy with how he performed. Had a little over, you know, 25 interviews at the combine. So obviously teams are very much interested in him. He did all the medicals that teams asked of him. And everything turned out great. So that's a credit to Roger and the work that he put in to get himself better at this point. And let's face it, guys, he's still a young player. The body's going to heal a lot better. So where he goes, it's going to be tough. I mean, do you take a player that's missed that many games this year knowing that he had the back injury, or do you maybe play it safe and take another player? That's going to be how these teams with the dilemma that they're going to have to face. But Roger McQueen, I tell you, when healthy, he could have been a top, you know, top two pick in this draft for sure if he was healthy and played a full season.
You know, I remember arriving at the draft last year and so many teams, I mean, Kevin Adams of the Sabres said he'd be looking to trade the pick. You know, he doesn't need any more prospects. He needs guys that can help now. Other GMs were talking about trading the pick. We get there, and nobody traded their pick. And it was like, what? Wait a minute. All these teams are trading their first-round pick, and nobody did. Did that surprise you last year?
I guess in some ways it did. You know, maybe there was a player that they were really hard on that they liked in the draft, or maybe the deal just wasn't there, right? Paul, we know how these things work and how GMs suddenly change minds about certain players or certain picks that they want to, you know, give up in a trade. So we don't know what really happened, but I guess in some way it was a little bit surprising. I do know this, though, or I feel this, I should say, that with the decentralized draft this year, we might see a lot more activity maybe a day or two before the draft with trading. Yeah, that could be. There's always that prospect of having the one big one happen on draft day, whether it be the first round or day two. But you know, the idea of trading a top 10 pick, top 11 pick, wherever it might be, whether it's its own or as part of a package in exchange for a proven impact player, something, you know, we speculate a lot this time of year, and as well we should be. But especially in a draft where the caliber of player potentially available at 10 may not reach that of this year, of years past, the drawback to that idea is the rarity of such trades. As you said, Paul, in the last 15 years, I looked this up, only 6 top 10 picks have been traded in the days leading up to or at the NHL draft, the last coming in 2022 when Chicago traded Alex DeBrincat to the Ottawa Senators for the 2022 seventh overall pick. So, you know, we'll see what happens this year at the draft, but it's always it's always a storyline heading in. The writers want something to write about, and certainly players trading teams and going to different teams, different organizations is always a good one.
Well, Adam said in April already he's totally open to looking into trading number 9. So he has not backed off that a year later.
Yeah, if the Sabres feel they can acquire a veteran player, right, Paul, who can contribute immediately, they should definitely consider trading the pick. Trading the pick could be a way to add a significant player who could help the Sabres make that playoff push, make the playoffs, not in the near future, now.
Real quick, Mike, before we let you go, I did want to get the chance to ask you, you've obviously been a guy that follows a lot of the prospects, not only leading up to the draft, but even their years afterwards. Wanted to get your thoughts quickly on the Sabres prospect system and who might be interesting for you this upcoming season in terms of guys you'll be watching, or maybe even someone that might make a jump to try to make the NHL roster.
Yeah, there are a good number of prospects in the Sabres system. I like what they have here in the pipeline. Konsta Hellenius, who they took number 14 in 24. Noah Ostlund in 22 at number 16. Anton Wahlberg, number 39 in 2023. Isaac Rezaian, number 14 in 21. And even the Cleaver kid, the defenseman they took there, I like him. But the kid I have my eye on is Hellenius, and you know, I know he was in Rochester, an all-around good two-way center, probably benefited from playing with men in Europe because he's not overwhelmed, and that's pretty rare. So I like what Hellenius has to offer. The Cleaver kid is someone to keep an eye on too. I know in 24 he went in the second round to the Sabres. He looks like a guy that is getting better and better with the puck on his stick. He just needs to work on the puck skills a little bit, maybe his feet. But he's got, you know, he has the big long frame, goes about 6'5", 210, handled himself really, really well at the World Juniors. You know, I'm impressed with Cleaver and what he's been able to do defensively. And then Versailles and the right wing. Goes about 6'1", 180. I know he played in Rochester, the 21 draft for the Sabres there. He really attacks the game, gets to the middle of the ice, has an ability to strip guys because he's really tenacious when he's on the puck. Not going to overpower the opposition or opposing players with his physicality, but he can get there quick, use that stick, like, you know, can win battles, advance pucks, and that's what the Sabres need, those guys that are going to muck and grind in the corners, do some of the dirty work. And, you know Lindy Ruff loves those kind of guys. So I like what the Sabres have here, Braden, in the pipeline, and this draft they'll certainly be able to build that.
How do you feel about Owen Power? I mean, here's a 22-year-old first overall pick. He takes a lot of grief here in Buffalo. But
avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Defensemen very often take a little bit. Even Rasmus Dahlin at 22 wasn't what Rasmus Dahlin is now. How do you look at Owen Power 3 years into it now as the number one overall pick at 22 years of age?
Yeah, still a young player, right, Paul? So I think that's the one thing people need to take into consideration and keep in mind when they talk about a lot of these players. I like what Power's been able to bring to the Sabres. I know he does things with a calmness about him. That's just how he is. He's a cerebral player. But once he gets going and once he's been able to learn what the Sabres need from him, I think he's been, you know, better than average. Let's put it that way. I like the growth of this player. Obviously, the number one pick, there's a lot on your shoulders. Whenever you're the number one pick, there's going to be a major spotlight on you. Came into the league at a young age. I thought he picked up the best he can, what he could. I like what Pyro brings to, you know, specialty teams, what he's been able to do 5-on-5. He's got a big powering shot back there. You know, he's a player that, to me, as he gets older, as he learns, as he develops more under the system, with the style that the Lindy Ruff wants to play, I think it's going to benefit him. And I know for sure, because I've seen it with Ruff and with the Devils, when he was with the Devils and how he approached young players, particularly young defensemen. He's going to learn the right way. And that's going to be, you know, as long as he listens and you know, listens to Lindy and does the things that he needs to do to develop and grow the way we all know he can, he's going to make an impact with the Sabres for sure.
Mike Morreale, NHL.com, joining us on the Western Hotline this morning. Mike, it's always great to talk with you. Thanks again. Enjoy the draft, and we'll talk again sometime down the line, I'm sure.
Yep, sounds great, Brayton, Paul. Thanks so much, guys. Have a great evening.
You as well. Mike Morreale, NHL.com on the Western Hotline. We'll step aside. Come right back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. You're listening to WGR. Back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Our thanks to Mike Morreale from NHL.com for joining us to talk some draft coverage as well as some Sabres prospects for a little bit. Let's head out to the phone lines here. Mark has been waiting very patiently on hold, and we appreciate Mark for doing so as we'll head out to West Seneca to talk to Mark. Mark, what's happening this morning?
Well, good morning, guys. It's a pleasure to wait for you guys, but especially Paul. Paul, you're number one in the city as far as analyst of hockey.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I wait for your opinion religiously after games and whenever I can, so this is a real pleasure to talk to you. I have a comment and a couple of questions for you guys, and I'll make them quick. My comment is, and I'm a lifelong Sabre fan. I've been there since day one. I actually was at the last game of the Buffalo Bisons when I was a kid, when they won the Calder Cup before we became the Sabres. So I've been there, and I'm a huge hockey fan. I've been there through every step of the way. That being said, for the longest time now, my opinion of the Buffalo Sabres administration is that we've become, especially over the last decade, an organization of talent gatherers, and it's been through several GMs as opposed to, and I understand why they may have felt doing this because our talent level was very low at one time, but you still have to draft and bring in players for specific roles within the team and also even specific roles within lines. If you have a distinct setup in your mind of how you want lines 1, 2, 3, and 4 to be made up, same thing with the defense pair. And I think you can attest to that by how many guys in Rochester seem to have the same kind of physical makeup and playing style. That being said, number two, would you trade Owen Power before Bo Byram? Owen Power, to me, may be at the highest level of his worth right now, and I'm a firm believer that players show you very quickly who they are and what they are. And when you look at Owen Power's game around the net and along the wall, the compete level is not where it should be, okay? And I don't know that you can raise that compete level as a guy gets older. In my opinion, you either have it or you don't, okay? And then the other question I have is, can somebody please explain to me the thought process, other than somewhat Pagula loves Kevin Adams, the advantage of bringing in a guy like Yaro, who has 30 years of experience in the NHL, from playing all the way up through, okay, and making him just an advisor and leaving final decisions with Kevin Adams. Kevin's made a couple of trades that I agree with, but if you follow the trade tree now of moving Mittelstadt, bringing in McLeod, and you had Byram, okay, in order to build the team, if you lose Byram, you're no further ahead than where you were if you had kept Mittelstadt and not brought in McLeod. Because at the time when Mittelstadt left, he was their best forward, highest point getter, and he was playing up and down the lineup, much like McLeod did this year without being the highest point getter. But same style of play, same thing he's given to the team.
All right, thanks, Mark. Appreciate it. We got to kind of cut you short here because we're running short on time. We want to be able to get in Amy Lezikowski. Paul, thoughts on the future of the Sabres administration and just kind of where things go from here?
Well, I think the biggest problem is not necessarily who they're drafting. It's rushing young players to the NHL. I thought that's where the mistake was made. And Yuri Kulik's a great example of doing it right. I mean, he's played over 100 games in the American Hockey League, well over 100 games. And look at how well he developed last year. I think they're finally doing it right with Devin Levi, who's been in the AHL for a year and a half. Some of the other guys hardly even spent like 50 games in the American Hockey League. They were in such a rush to get them up to Buffalo and sign them to long-term deals, and it turned out to be a huge mistake. They just weren't developed enough. I don't think it's they drafted a bad player. They just didn't develop well enough, and I think that's been the major problem. Kevin Adams has one more year left on his contract. He, as Terry Pegula said himself, is when he let Jason Botterill go, is he did not feel he was being heard. He is heard with Kevin Adams. And I don't think Terry Pegula really wants to pay somebody not to work anymore. I think that's a big part of it, too. And he gets a chance to meet Jarmo now and spend a year with him. And if it doesn't work out this year for the Buffalo Sabres, where a move has to be made, Pegula might feel comfortable now. You know, I've worked with this guy for a year. I know what he's about. I would like to, you know, bring him in as a general manager. So I know I can't get to all the points here, but that's at least some of them.
Yeah. Yeah. The only thing I'll say about this too, Paul, and you know, you can respond here if you want. Part of the whole thing for me is also just the way they've developed some of these guys, and you made mention to it, some of the guys they've tried to rush to the NHL, but I feel it goes a little deeper than that. You know, we've heard so many times over the years where, oh yeah, the Sabres got the best guy available in the draft, or they got a guy that was best player available at the time, or, you know, somebody that was, you know, ranked way higher falling to the Sabres. And just over time, it feels like whether they're at the NHL level, whether they're still at junior level, or whether they're in the minors, it's just there's something about it with the way that they're focused on trying to develop these players that just still isn't clicking. And I don't know if it's the wrong personnel that's in place or the wrong mindset that's in place, but it just seems like, you know, we get these guys who are highly touted as prospects, and then as they continue to develop, whether they're, again, in juniors or in the minors or even at the NHL level at a young age, the mindset of trying to develop these guys into whatever they become just – I don't know. It just isn't clicking right for me.
What kind of player could Dylan Cousins be right now if he spent 100 games in the American Hockey League?
Right.
He spent none.
Yeah.
None. You know, I don't think Dylan Cousins was that good that he was – and I remember them saying while it was going on, well, we feel we can develop him better here in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, he had the one good year. But, you know, he's had his problems since. As I said, no games at all in the minors.
All right. We'll step aside, and when we come back, we're going to have Amy Lezikowski from the 11-Day Power Play join us. The 11-Day Power Play got started yesterday and will run all the way through Sunday, June 29th. We'll get a little bit of a preview and what to expect for people that want to come down to the Harbor Center and cheer on the players as they're raising money for cancer research. Brayton Wilson, Paul Hamilton with you on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. You're listening to WGR. One last final segment here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR Sports Radio 550. It's brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. And for our last segment, we're going to go back to the Wester Hotline, and we're going to bring in one of our favorite people to talk to at around this time of year. It's Amy Lezikowski from the 11-Day Power Play, as the 11-Day Power Play is officially underway at Harbor Center, started yesterday. Amy, thanks again for taking a few minutes of your busy time during this event to join us. How is everything going so far this morning at Harbor Center?
Well, thanks for having me. It's going great. You know, we're on day two here, and teams are coming in and out every 3 hours, and, you know, their fundraising has been incredible, and now they're battling it out on the ice.
Yesterday was obviously opening night, opening ceremonies that took place in the evening hours, but obviously the first teams were stepping onto the ice in the morning hours. How did everything go on opening day?
It went great. Puck dropped yesterday at 9 a.m., and we had three teams play prior to opening. And then at opening, we had our top 60 fundraisers play, which was exciting and fun to watch. They were hosted by Dan Dunleavy, who did play-by-play. We had face painters, balloon makers. We're selling lots of merchandise. So it was a really fun night and a great way to kick off the event.
3,000 players set to play this year in the 11-day power play in downtown Buffalo. Where do things stand right now in terms of donations and what you're looking at with funds raised for cancer research here in Western New York?
So we are inching up on $1.3 million, which is incredible. It's the most we've brought in at this time during the event, and we're hoping to hit a $1.7 million goal this year. To support the cancer cause, we continue to support research at Roswell Park. We continue to support Camp Good Days and send campers to Camp Free every summer. And Make-A-Wish, of course, you know, we've been able to support more than 340 wishes locally. So the money that comes in stays local, and it allows us to give back to the community in a really big way.
That's awesome. That's amazing that so far just about $1.3 million raised for cancer research. It's amazing to me, Amy. You guys started 9 years ago. This is year nine for the 11-day power play. And just the continued support that you guys see and the donations that are received, it never seems to stop. You know, I've played in, I think this is going to be my sixth year playing in the 11-day power play, and every year it just still amazes me the amount of support that you guys get and the amount of people that still chatter about it and take in, coming down, supporting the players. I mean, does it surprise you every year that this continues just as much as it surprises me?
Yeah, I mean, hockey is such, you know, a fun sport. People love it. And then you combine that with, you know, being able to give back and support the community. And I think, you know, the hockey players really, you know, it just resonates with them. They've found the way to give back, and everyone's affected, and, you know, they share a lot here. You know, we have interviews going on with players behind the scenes. We have a player of the game, just hearing their stories. You know, there's a reason why they come back, and, you know, we're just so grateful for that, and that support continues. And we're going to continue doing this until, you know, we don't have to. And it's, you know, hopefully at some point we can find a cure.
And obviously the people that come out every year to support them, what are those conversations like with you on a regular basis for people that this may be their ninth year coming down supporting the players? It may be their third year. Maybe they're cheering on a family member that's playing. I mean, what are those interactions like with the community?
You know, everybody gets excited. It's almost like Christmas Day for 11 days straight. You know, they just really look forward to it. I mean, everyone wants to do something. We've got more than 300 volunteers that really put this event on. It's a very well-oiled machine, but we do change it up, you know, as much as we can each year to keep people, you know, coming back. And it's really great to see everybody coming in and out of the rink, just happy and glad to give back to the community.
Amy Lezikowski from the 11-Day Power Play joining us here on the West Her Hotline on WGR. Obviously, Amy, we're going to have a weekend of games coming up here, and then all next week is going to be some action as well. Feel free to tell people what they can expect when they come down to Harbor Center to downtown Buffalo and head to Harbor Center to see the players play.
Yeah, it's free to the public to come down. I know it's going to be pretty hot this next week, and we're here for the entire event up until June 29th. We sell merchandise. It's great to cheer on the players. We have a rink of hope that people can place a puck in memory or honor of someone that, you know, they'd like to remember or honor, and, you know, people can come on down and do that and just really make signs for the players and cheer them on, because they work so hard all year fundraising, and this is kind of their, you know, special moment on the ice, and they do really like to play in front of a crowd.
Now, this year, the Team WGR is going to be playing on Thursday, June 26th. Our shift is from 6 to 9, and some of the players that will be featured on the ice during our time, myself included, also playing Derek Kramer, Jody Biasi, Josh Schmidt. Trevor Hauer is going to join us this year. TJ Luckman, Owen Parker is back, and of course, our brand manager, Alan Davis. I do have to ask, is Mike going to be jumping onto the ice with us at some point, whether it be for us or for the Western New York Media All-Stars?
I would assume he would. He usually is on the ice at least 9 to 10 times each event. And I do believe I saw him on your roster.
Good.
So you will see him.
Good. Okay. As long as he's playing with us. Amy, feel free to tell people where they can donate and continue to contribute to the cause and find out more information about the event itself.
you can go to 11daypowerplay.com. There's a donate button. There's also a volunteer link that you can sign up to volunteer. We're always in need. We always have holes that we need to fill. And we really would appreciate if people would help us in that way. And if they're far away and they can't make it down, a donation is obviously very welcome and continues to support our cause and our mission.
Well, Amy, we always appreciate you joining us for a few minutes to talk about the 11-day, and especially with it ongoing. I know you got a busy schedule, so we'll let you get back to it. And I'm sure this won't be the last time you hear from us at this point, you know, at some point over the course of the next several days. Thanks again.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Amy Lezikowski joining us on the Wester Hotline here on WGR. That's going to do it for Paul and myself today. Thanks again to Mike Moriel from NHL.com and Amy, of course, from the 11-Day Power Play joining us. Thanks to Paul as well. We'll be back with you again tomorrow morning, same time, 10 a.m. on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Coming up next, though, Derek Kramer and Joe Calley are going to be filling in for the next 3 hours as they fill in during Sabres Live and One Bills Live, as those guys enjoy a couple of days off as they get ready for the long weekend here as summer's about to begin. Opening day of summer is, what, Saturday? So, yeah, fun times. Thanks again, everybody, for tuning in. We'll be back again tomorrow with you, and stay tuned. Derek and Joe coming up next here on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.